Welcome to Married AF. We are your hosts, Brooke and Randall Fowler. On this show, we discuss the topics that really matter.
Like big veiny cocks and our favorite TV shows.
So pull up a chair at our kitchen table and hang out.
While I bulldog my nuts. What's up? Hey, we're here to do a quick question and answer episode. Special edition.
Yo.
This is mainly questions from other podcasters. And so it's pretty awesome. We got a bunch that responded via Twitter and had some questions they wanted us to answer. So we're going to oblige.
All right.
All right. First question. Worst food that you've ever had.
Oh, fuck. I like a lot of stuff.
What's the worst, though?
The worst food I've ever had.
You want me to do mine while you
go yours? I'm fucking suck at these questions on the spot.
The worst one I've ever had, and it's simple for me, those clams up in Boston. If I had to describe to other people what... Those, it was at like a real Boston clam bake. I mean, all the shit. And the clam tasted, if I had to explain it, like a tiny elephant's dick.
It's exactly how you explained it that day.
It felt like I had a tiny dick trunk that was leathery. And I kept it in my mouth for so long, hoping that I could do it. And I had to excuse myself to their shitter and spit it out and gagged when I spit it out. So clams.
I don't really, there's nothing that sticks out to me. Fuck. I know when I was a kid, I used to, like my mom used to love eating rutabaga. I don't even know if you know what a rutabaga is.
Absolutely no clue what a rutabaga is.
It's
is
like
it a vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
Okay.
It's like a big, oh God, it's like a potato kind of thing, but it's not. It's like this big, giant, round kind of potato, but kind of not, but it's like orangey. I don't know. I just remember it grossing me the fuck out when I was a kid. No, you know what? It grosses me out that I cannot stand is lima beans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You hate lima beans.
I fucking
hate
them.
The consistency of them for some reason.
It's like...
I love them.
It's like eating styrofoam, but with no flavor, and not that styrofoam has flavor, but yeah.
So clams and lima beans.
Yours is way more interesting than mine. All right.
Next one comes from our friends at Brand X Podcast,
all right.
John and the fellas.
What up?
John wants to know, what's the worst argument you've had, what was it about, and how did you resolve it?
It's a three-parter.
Yeah.
What's the worst argument we had? Well, I mean...
I think it was the Havana Club, your birthday.
But what the fuck was it about, Randall? You tell me.
Me drinking liquor.
But the... Okay, so... This is the... Let's set the scene. My birthday, Randall gets about 75 gallons of vodka tonic or vodka cranberry.
Grey Goose and cranberry.
All right, fancy pants. And gets beyond wasted.
Possibly roofied.
Mm-hmm, sure. And just... then wants to like punch people or like wants to try and get in fights with people. That's the thing, is like there wasn't really anything like that happened other than you getting white girl wasted.
Well, let me tell my side, which is worse than your side. I got like a big VIP table, everything for a birthday. This was before we were married, and I mean, we were already seriously together, but we weren't married yet.
And before child.
Before child. And we're out partying at Havana Club. And so, yeah, I mean, I was obliterated. This is when I drank liquor. This is really why I quit drinking liquor, was this night.
God, it was.
And so all that vodka, totally trashed. And all that did for me, and one thing drinking liquor does for me, just makes me really insecure and stupid. And then I'm a bigger guy, and, you know, you get the liquid courage, and I'm garbage if I drink liquor. So I was a total asshat. And I mean, I was begging my friends to punch me in the face. Just, it's embarrassing to say, because it just is obviously terrible. So,
and it was for no reason.
There was no real reason other than me being a drunk idiot. And so we went to bed.
No.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be here for hours.
No, but I just wanted to real quick say, so I had to drive home. My birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I had to drive. Still wasn't, like, sober at all. Yeah. Me, not sober. But I don't know what the fuck you're telling me to do.
No, you're fine. I just couldn't hear in my earphones. I can't, still can't very well.
It's all the way up.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
Fuck. What the fuck was I going to say?
You were driving home. And
I had to drive home. And on the way home, you punched your dashboard and cracked it, because we were in your truck, and you punched your dashboard, cracked it, busted your hand open. That was all I wanted to say. Yes. And then we get home. You don't remember any of this. You were crawling around on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that you wanted to go home to Alabama, because you were still living in Alabama. Yeah. And then I think at one point I was telling, it was ridiculous. Woke up the next day. You were in the other room. You went to bed in the other room and didn't remember any of it. You were like, I went in there to wake you up, and you were like, hey, what's up? So, like, the resolution was, don't ever fucking drink alcohol, like, liquor again. Or,
yeah, there was, I mean, that was just a mutual decision that once everything was explained to me. Because I was like, why does my hand hurt? Why does my elbow hurt? Why does my forehead hurt? And my forehead hurt because that's where Marshall was punching me.
I didn't think anybody ever actually punched you.
Oh,
but
Marshall did.
No.
No, I think he slapped me. He wouldn't punch me, but I was begging him. I mean, I tried to fight the bouncer. It was all stupid. Not proud of it. Very bad moment, but. So, I mean, I haven't touched liquor in years. It's just not for me. I don't like the way it makes me be, and so there you go.
Turn your fucking phone off or on silent.
My questions are on here. But yes, okay.
Silent.
So that's how we resolved it. Haven't had a problem with that since. Stick to beer. I definitely can monitor beer better with the liquor. I mean, I'd be 10 drinks in before I thought about it and just be garbage.
Yeah.
Next one is The Difference Between Us. Those guys are awesome. Been listening to a bunch of their episodes. Really cool show. How has marriage changed you?
I mean, I just feel, for me, I don't really know. Like, I know it has changed me, but like only in ways of like, I tell you everything, and I don't know, like, I don't feel any need to keep anything to myself.
Yeah, for me, I wouldn't so much say that it changed either one of us, only because, I mean, we've said a million times, I think we're both, because we've been divorced, both of us. So I think it just changed our perspectives on how to properly be married. In those aspects. And so we haven't had to make any changes. But we also did everything in reverse. We lived together for years after dating. Mm-hmm. We had a child before we were married.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got married.
Yeah.
So
Gunnar was almost two when we got married.
And I recommend that route. I do. It's great. I thought it was right on the money.
I mean, it worked perfectly for us. I mean, it... In my opinion, this specific marriage has done nothing but change me for the better, if at all. I mean, I know we've probably changed together, but I feel you make me feel like a better person, babe.
Well, I mean, that's right back at you. And I think that's what a good marriage does, is make you want to be better for each other. So, but I like that answer from you. I got one in here real quick from Robert, who he's a friend. He's a photographer.
RobertOwen.net.
RobertOwen.net. Check out his work. Prove him wrong.
Prove Muddy wrong.
Yes. Robert wants to know, how in the hell are you going to fill 24 minutes per show once The Walking Dead goes off?
We've talked about that, Robert, and I don't fucking know. I'm going to have to find another show to talk about.
Two words.
What?
Big Brother.
But that's not coming on till June.
Well, yeah, we'll just stop doing podcasts until then.
I'll figure something out. I mean, you know, does anybody watch Fear the Walking Dead out there? Because I watch Fear the Walking Dead. Randall would rather punch himself in the face. Morgan's going to be on there, babe. I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of options. I've actually thought about letting you. You've been on your all these serial killer books that you've been reading.
I thought about that too. And yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of ways we can get around
it. Yeah. Lots of other. And, yeah. I mean, it could be some of my other obsessions, like true crime stuff and serial killers and things. So yeah, I'll figure something out, because anybody that watches Walking Dead more than likely would enjoy something of that kind of genre too. Because
speaking of that genre, Trace Evidence is the next question.
Yes, that is Steve over at Trace Evidence. I liked his question.
Good. He said, I've never been married, and it often feels like we live in a society where infidelity is rampant and so many marriages fail. What is the key factor that makes yours work so well? And what is the one thing each of you loves that the other can't stand? TV show, book, whatever.
Yeah, I like that. So for the first part, I mean, that's easy for us. We just don't do, like, there's nothing we don't do together. So the infidelity part, there's not going to be any opportunity. And it's not because I feel like if Randall goes out without me, that he'll be tempted or vice versa. That's not even the case, really. It's just the precedent that we've set as far, like, with each other. And because we want to. We want to be with each other as much as possible. And all the other factors that play into that, like making each other happy, making a concerted effort to make each other happy, it's all just like a big circle. And I mean, that's the way I think of it, is like, there's never going to be an opportunity. Not that, you know, like we've had to do things for work or whatever, but it's when things like that come up, there's never any question in my mind. Like, I'm never thinking like, oh God, what is he doing?
Yeah. And that starts with the, for me, it's all the small things that go all the way to the, you know, the shared Facebook that people make fun of sometimes, but we don't care
so much. I
love it.
I think it's hilarious when people hate on it.
You know, Brooke can have my phone anytime she wants. I don't care. I don't have nothing locked. She can read whatever she wants. Yeah. She'll just probably mainly,
that's a big piece of it,
and think that it's ridiculous, like who I text and what I say, but she can,
yeah,
she's willing to, or she's,
and that's a problem for some people. Like, some people cannot let that go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it might just be because we've been in previous failed relationships that was a factor to some degree.
Oh, sure.
Not even necessarily because anything was going on. It was just because we just didn't want to open up.
Well, you want something separate.
Yes.
Until you 100% give yourself to somebody, you always want to keep a little piece of you. And I'm a prime example of that. I used to be a phone hoarder.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted something that's mine. No one else needs to be intruding on my stuff. I'd be that way with my wallet, everything, my phone. I give two shits now. And that's just a sign of being with the right person, I think.
It's a relief. It's a big relief to be able to feel that way too, I think.
In a comfortable enough relationship to let all those guards down and not, you know, no ego, no, you know, I'm going to keep this or that, or I'm still going to do this, or, you know, it's all compromise. But what I like about this question, and I think is important, and he's asking about, you know, what do you not love that the other one loves? Small things.
Oh, I know exactly what I want to say for that.
For me, on the bigger scale of that question, I think what makes us successful is that if it's anything of significance that she loves, I'm going to try to love it. Walking Dead's an example of that. I hated this show.
Yeah, he was not a fan.
Once I knew how vested she was, then I jumped on board. I had to. She's done that with a million things for me. Now, I know that's not what you're asking. You're asking about the smaller things, but just to help other people out on the grand scheme of things, yeah. If your significant other loves a bunch of things that you don't love, I think that's a bad thing. You won't at least try to love, too.
Right. Well, yeah, so Walking Dead was one for you that you didn't like, but I forcefully won you over. You were going to be watching it anyways, because I was like, I'm watching it when it's on in bed next to you, so deal with it. And got you, lured you over. For me, it is all of the CNN and MSNBC and political stuff, and that sounds probably makes me sound really stupid, because I always feel like when I say that I hate politics and I hate watching shows about it or the news for a million hours, probably makes me sound real ignorant and stupid, but it's just
the election was miserable for
me. My fucking Lord. And he swore that CNN and Fox News and every news outlet that exists wouldn't be on 24/7 after the election. Lies. Every chance he gets, he turns that. If it's either, I mean, ESPN, I'm fine with. I'm a big sports fan, but I know it's important, but in my opinion, for me, I just surround myself with people like Randall and my family that know about politics and are invested in it and know really well, like deeply what all that stuff. And so I just feel like maybe I can check out.
Oh, 100%.
I just feel like I don't really need to know it. And that might be stupid.
It's probably better for your demeanor. I think people like me that watch more of the news than you should, it's bad for you. It's a mood killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's so negative,
right, that
it's almost a smarter idea just turn the fucking news off. And I wish, right, I could. It's almost my background noise.
Well, the local news, that's another thing. The local news is something I watch every single morning.
No, I'm talking about the political part
is when I'm like glazed over and like, let's change the channel. But yeah, I mean, on the Atlanta local news can be pretty fucking depressing too. There's always somebody shot, multiple people. But yeah, I mean, that's my biggest thing that I don't, it's not that I'm not a big fan of, that you are deeply invested in. And I try sometimes, like and then I just always feel dumb because I ask you questions that I'm like, I feel like I should fucking know this, but.
No, that's what we're here for.
Was there another one for me besides The Walking Dead that I already won you over on? Like, what do you currently not like that I like? Because you like all the true crime and serial, not as much as I do, I don't think, but.
No, not as much. I don't know, Walking Dead, a lot of the.
Fear the Walking Dead you don't like.
Fear the Walking Dead I can't. I only have enough room for love of one.
There's not room for two zombie shows.
A show like that I have to invest in mentally,
yeah,
to follow. If it was an easy show like the Goldbergs and shit,
oh fuck yeah,
like that's simple,
yeah,
we're both, you know, good to go. But yeah, I can't follow too many deep stories,
deep
at
drama,
once and keep up with it. I can barely remember the names of the Walking Dead people,
yeah,
even though I watch it all the time. But another one for you that you didn't mention,
mm-hmm,
I think, is in my car, I never listen to music. I either listen to podcasts or.
Well, now I'm that way.
Yeah, if you'd let me finish.
Oh.
I was getting to that. I would listen to podcasts. Before podcasts, it was audiobooks.
Yes.
When it was audiobooks, it was a lot of World War II.
Oh, fucking kill me.
Which is just one of my interests. And they'd be fighter pilot autobiographies.
And they don't find the jolliest motherfuckers to read these audiobooks about World War II.
No, it would be, you know, Robin Ould's book was fantastic. And
with the sleepiest guys reading.
And it would drive her batshit crazy. And she just couldn't, as much as she would try, she couldn't get on. She could get on board, like, with my audiobooks that were, like, Adam Carolla or, you know, something funny. But the World War II ones, I could just feel the disdain.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just had to listen to them. They're fantastic. And it's funny because that's a shared interest that me and your dad have.
Oh, for sure.
Very tight that me and him both are. Fanatical World War II buffs.
Right. And my whole life when he would talk to me about that stuff, that's, again, I would, like, my eyes would glaze over and I'm like, Daddy, I love you, but oh Jesus.
You want me to go on to the next one?
Yeah, sure.
So awesome question. Thanks for the follow too, Trace Evidence, Steve.
Yeah. Also
great show.
I binge listened to the shit out of that show today. I listened to like 7 episodes today, I think. It's so good. So well done, Steve. Love it.
The next one is from Hello Life WTF.
Mm-hmm.
How has podcasting together affected your marriage?
I mean, I think we mentioned it one time before, but I think only in a positive way, because there are some days where, like, especially when we do it, we only really record during the week at night. So it's like, this is a time where, like, we've been running around crazy all day doing whatever. And we might not have ever gotten to sit down and talk as for a, like, extended period of time with no interruptions other than doing this podcast. So it's definitely helped us, like, make sure that we talk to each other and are listening and paying attention to each other.
No, I think it's great too. You know, this one's probably a little more serious of the podcast we've done, just because it's about, you know, a good subject, marriage, which was one of the goals of the show. So I kind of like it a lot less, you know, dick jokes and stuff. But I think it's an important question, because this podcast for us is strictly for fun. If we stop liking it, we won't do it. If we're not having fun, it'll stop. There's no other motivation behind it except for that. And, you know, an example of what we just touched on from Steve's question, as far as what you love, I mean, the way that you just jumped in with me on this idea, totally for fun. But if it becomes like work and it's not fun, we just won't do it.
Unless, yeah, I mean.
I mean, unless we're huge celebrities, like, we're becoming. I mean, we got 125 Twitter followers. Our shit is on fire.
We're fucking famous, yeah. Clearly.
We could never leave them. They would miss us too much.
No, I would love, I would love for this to be my job. But, yeah, we do have full-time jobs. And, I mean, it's fun, and it's a way for us to just, you know, I mean, I think it as far as if we were just doing this for 10 people, we would still do it.
Oh, absolutely. It's not about the number, but I'm saying, but if it's not fun to me and you, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't waste our time on something that's not fun. We both love the shit out of it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we're good. Or that we know what we're doing, because that's a totally different question.
Because that is not the case.
No, but it's still fun.
But yeah, we're definitely having a good time. And I think you guys do a podcast and are married and have kids too. And so hopefully you have the same experience of like, hey, I might not have gotten to sit down and talk with my spouse for 30, 45 minutes, an hour straight of uninterrupted discussion, because I mean, if we're not doing this, one of us is looking at our phone or something, and it's
or
rare
winding down in the bed,
or and it's rare that we would just get the mono-e-mono time
or doing the nasty
Yeah, but we're not talking.
Nope. That's different. The next one is from I Shake My Head. Mm-hmm. These are the two funny ladies that mm-hmm. do their podcast in the car. They're hilarious. My husband and I have a great marriage, but I always laugh and say it's because he works nights and I work days. Our paths rarely cross. If we argue, we always go to bed mad because the other isn't home. Do you guys ever go to bed mad?
Yeah, I mean, that's I know that's the old, like, saying that don't ever go to bed mad, and I wish I could say we don't, but that's a lie. I mean, there's a couple times. It's not often, because it's not like we fight that often, but
no, it's extremely rare, because one of us will eventually, even if one of us falls asleep, I've kept tabs of this mm-hmm. in my head. I don't know of a time, maybe once, where someone slept the whole night, because it'll eventually brew over to where one wakes the other up. Right,
exactly.
And we put an end to it, and then we bang.
It will drive, one of us will cave.
And we bang it out.
Yeah, I mean, but that's tough, you know?
You don't want to.
You both have to be in the same room, though. So if your husband's not there, then that makes that part difficult to just cave, and one of you not necessarily like apologizes or whatever, but if it's me, I'll just be like, oh my god, what the fuck.
It's
like,
strictly an ego thing at that point anyway, of who's gonna cave first. So it's pretty stupid at the end of the day, really.
And it's usually me like just yelling at him to like, this is stupid, just what the fuck.
It's usually you yelling at me about why am I mad.
Yes. Because you're the one and that stews and gets so mad. And I'm not mad,
and then that makes you mad, and it's over nothing. So it's so rare, though, that
your face.
I mean, it's, I don't know if we're good candidates for that question, because it's really, really rare. I mean, every night we have a pretty straight routine where I know you're going to sleep because you roll over, give me a kiss on the cheek, and say, I love you, tonight, and that's it. That's when I know the lights are out, sexy time options are off the table.
Yeah, but I mean,
get it in either right then or before then. That's the door closing. I know all the signs.
Yeah.
That's the lights, no vacancy.
Well, yeah.
Which is fine. It's our routine. Okay. The last two are actually from my cervical neck surgery group.
Okay.
And, first one's from Melissa, and I'm just going to let you answer. This is a great question. Mm-hmm. And for those of you in the group of podcasts that asked the questions, I had a ACDF surgery, anterior cervical discectomy infusion in my neck, May 31st last year, 2 levels, and I'm good to go now, but it's a pretty major surgery if you've never heard of it. And so
he got discs fused in his neck. If you didn't understand those 17 words to describe that. Yeah.
Basically, they cut out my shitty discs that were ruptured and basically crushed to nothing. Cut them out. Put a plastic, basically, spacer in there that's filled with cadaver bone and my bone.
Yeah.
To put them at the proper height between the vertebrae. And then put a plate in front of that so they don't slide out. And then put 6 screws in.
Uh-huh.
And the goal is for that to fuse into one solid portion.
Because his neck was trash, and all of that he just described was done through like a half-inch slit in the front of his neck.
It's like 3 inches. you can barely even tell now.
No, but it looked insane that your doctor did all that through that little cut in your neck. But so there's a big Facebook group where we've made lots of new friends.
Lots of that really, are wonderful. Yeah, really good folks. And Melissa, who we mentioned on the last podcast, has that blog, Departure from Logic. It's a fantastic blog. Check it out if you want. She said, from what I've seen in our group and others, this surgery can be hard on the caretaker / spouse as well. And they don't always get the appreciation they deserve. In fact, I've seen a few marriages end, probably not due only to the surgery, but to all the pain, all the past pain, perhaps medication, addiction, etc. What advice would you give the patient and the person taking care of them?
That's a fantastic question. Because that I could see how that could really test somebody's marriage, that kind of surgery. Because, okay, in our situation, I don't want to take a whole lot of credit for anything because I don't feel like I did a goddamn thing because Randall didn't really require a lot of caretaking because he's superhuman and was doing cartwheels down the hallway in the hospital that night, basically. And I mean, I feel like I brought you home from the hospital the next day and you sat in the recliner, I think for like maybe, because I took off the rest of the week from work so I could take care of you, but it was almost not necessary. I went, you couldn't drive. That was legit.
Till day four.
You was,
I drove on day
for four. A little bit, but you were driving full bore on like day six.
Yeah, probably.
But like I went and got your ice for you a couple days.
Yes, you did.
And I mean,
well, you're already leaving a few things out, so I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah, I just, I don't.
Because you don't want to, I mean, of course, you're not going to toot your own horn, but she did way more than she's saying, doesn't even remember. I mean, she iced my neck for 4 months, every night for 4 months.
Oh, that
it had to be done.
That was like a year, actually.
Yeah, because we were doing it before. I'm thinking post-surgery. Yeah, so let's say probably about a year. I mean, it was our routine every night.
I forgot
night,
about the icing the neck and, thing.
I mean, you have to take into effect, and that would make me feel bad because, I mean, shit, she's got, you know, a kid, a full-time job, all the other shit. And then at the end of the night, you know, 30 minutes to hold an ice block on the back of my neck. And she did it never, you know, without fail. And I think that was a big part of recovering so quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of ice and the healing properties that it provides. And, you know, just that alone is huge. But there's also the... You know, when we got home, I, of course, was trying to tell her she could go back to work because, you know, I felt pretty good. But we, you know, my first walk, she went out and walked with me, make sure I could, you know, do what I needed to do. But she was, I think, the perfect amount of there if you need me, but I'm not going to be up your ass and make you feel like a baby either.
Well, yeah,
which is the perfect
you,
amount.
Yeah, I know you well enough to know that that is just that would just piss you off.
Sure,
but
the pain meds.
But I wasn't going to let you overdo it.
Important thing, because what she did really good too was, you know, right when you come home, you know, you still got all the drugs in you, all that, and you know, she kept me on a really regimented schedule for the first. It's really important for like the first 3 or 4 days. That you stay in front of any pain that's going to occur.
But don't overdo the pain
meds. But don't
meds.
Overdo the pain meds to where you're a, you know, because there's, especially, you know, for me, I can tell you, pain meds are great. And so if you get to where you're taking them other than how you should.
2 million drug addicts will tell you that.
You will get into a problem. So she, you know, rationed my, kept the same schedule that my nurse had me on. And had it on our little whiteboard here in the kitchen with the hours, you know, every 4 hours rotating them. So it was a lot more than she says. And she did a great job. But it's a team effort in that regard. And so I think it worked great for us.
He's typically a terrible patient for anything that's wrong with him. Like he's the guy that'll go to the doctor just for confirmation that something's wrong, but then never actually do what the doctor tells him he needs to do, blah, blah, blah. In this case, he took it very seriously. I mean, it was, you know, he actually got the surgery. So I was a little nervous about what he was going to be like after the surgery. Like if he was going to just completely disregard everything that the doctors were telling him. But he didn't. And so that like really took a lot of the pressure off me too, because I didn't feel like I had to be like overbearing or like, you know, and.
Yeah, I think that's the big, once you saw that I was actually going to do.
You were going to behave.
Properly.
Yeah.
And once you got confirmation from Jimbo that I was not over pushing myself in the gym. Too quickly.
Once you went back to the gym.
Yeah. And that, you know, that I was wearing my bone stimulator like I was supposed to. I wore that son of a bitch every day for 4 months.
You wore
it
for longer than you were required.
I ended up liking it. I still miss it sometimes.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, I was a little worried, like a pacifier almost, like that it was going to be difficult. Not that you have a pacifier, but like taking a pacifier from a little kid. Like,
no, it was.
That like you were a little too attached to it because it was like you got to the point where you would be like,
I slept in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I mean, and I hated it at first, which mm-hmm. is so funny. But bone stimulator, when you have cervical surgery, it's basically a big Flavor Flav looking necklace that you wear. And it's
witchcraft.
Yeah, it puts like, you know, helps get blood flow to your fusion in your neck.
It's like electrical.
Yeah, it's got currents, you know, running through it. And they're so fucking expensive. They're like $5,000, but insurance. I mean, yeah. That's the only reason I had it. But supposedly it helps you fuse quicker, harder, and stronger. So I stuck with that. That was my biggest fear because one of my biggest problems, and I can admit it, is that I hate being told I have to do anything. Mm-hmm. That almost shuts me down on anything. If you say I have to do this.
Hence what I was just saying about doctor's orders and being 100%. A terrible patient. Yeah.
But this was my arms and legs, so I knew that
right.
I couldn't fuck around.
Yeah. And it was...
But, I mean, I recovered quick. It was crazy.
No, it was such a relief. Like, I was a nervous wreck before a surgery and just about, you know, how the surgery was going to go, what the results were going to be, how, you know, how he was going to be after surgery as far as following the instructions of his doctor and not overdoing it. And if it was going to, because, like, I mean, I worried about that in the back of my head, like, because I could see how that would put such a strain on somebody's marriage if shit was not going right with a recovery, or if, you know, you didn't do everything you were supposed to, and it would make me go crazy thinking that you were going to re-injure something or whatever, and then I would feel like it was my fault. And
well, yeah, and if you don't, you know, if you're one of the unlucky ones,
so that could be
ones
very stressful.
That don't heal, and right. you have pain every night. I mean, I can't imagine what kind of stress that would put right. on a spouse that doesn't have that pain. And then you got one that has all this pain. I mean, luckily,
even after the surgery, and I could see how that after a while would be like, Jesus Christ, you got fucking, what do we need to do? Like, what do we need to do?
Yeah. And then the patient is like, motherfucker,
I know.
I got nerve pain shooting down my arms. And so it all worked out great for us. I can totally see the legitimacy of Melissa's. Yes. Question, but if you don't work as a team, if you don't let your spouse help you the best that they can and just to the amount that you need, you know, I never took advantage of her help or
no,
you know, some people do that, which is a dick move. Yeah, I was able to move at the right pace.
Yeah, he was a really good patient. It was a huge relief. I was very pleasantly surprised at how he actually took it slow at trying to do too many things.
And by slow, she means because it definitely wasn't slow to other people from the outside because they saw that I was.
But if anybody knows you, yeah.
On a stationary bike mm-hmm. by day 10, but I wasn't. You know, I never extended my weight limit that the doctors gave me.
Mm-hmm. No, you followed all their doctor's orders.
It was pretty safe. Now, the only time I did one mistake when we went swimming and I came up out of the water and shook my head real hard and thought I just broke my neck. It made the nastiest pop. I definitely wasn't fused yet. And I was pretty horrified because for a second,
and that was just like habit, like coming up out of water and just like, you did that coming out of the shower, I think one time too, after surgery, like it was something similar, whatever you do with your face or something after surgery, you did something.
Oh, it's probably shaking my beard out.
Yeah. And you did the same thing and you were like, I think I just died.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't pop anymore, but when it's healing, it pops like nasty.
Like you said, it sounds like a shotgun going off.
Still, And it grosses me out because Brooke pops her neck.
Oh, yeah.
And that sound makes me want to throw up in my mouth. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to other people.
Sorry.
But, I mean.
It's a nasty habit.
My advice is just you got to talk. You got to, you know, communicate with your partner on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Be available if, you know, if you're the caretaker without being overly bossy, which is hard. I can't imagine. I haven't had to be the caretaker other than when Brooks had like a, you know, stomach bug or some shit. She doesn't have any health problems.
I had the flu last year. It was god awful.
She has no structural damage like I'm suffering from. My body is a mess when it comes to joints and bones.
That's what happens when you're a bigger person, like tall and.
It's my athletics, babe. When you excel.
And you played sports your whole life. That's what I was about to say. Like you beat the shit out of your body your entire life.
I am a dominant athlete.
I didn't really start beating the shit out of my body with athletics until a little bit later in life. And
no, you're well preserved. And that's great because somebody has to be.
But then somebody I guess the hardest trauma on my body was having a kid.
Yeah, the C-section. And you were a child. Well, and
just the whole, just pregnancy fucks your whole body, just period. Nothing's ever the same.
All yeah. right. Well, we got one last one. It's from Andy in the group, Andy Prokop.
Okay.
And his question was pretty simple. He just said, I'd like to know when you were feeling really good and no longer living with pain.
Oh, yeah. That's all for you.
Well, I mean, you were there, but I mean, I felt good. I felt better every day. And the first, I know it sounds quick, but day four, I specifically remember was a huge turning point. I was out doing my walk and doing my videos because I was documenting it. And I was like, you know, day four, I feel really good. Because for the first few days, you just feel like you got the shit beat out of you because of the way they twist you and I'm sure tie you to the table to position your vertebrae and
crank
space
all your
out.
Yeah, all your muscles out of the way to get to your spine.
But, you know, day four, I felt really good. And once I could drive with, you know, confidence, I don't know. Looking back on it now, I think anyone that has this surgery.
You didn't have pain, though, baby.
No, I didn't have it. Mine was mainly, I didn't need pain meds really quick. The muscle relaxers I took for.
No, I mean before surgery.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, yeah, I did.
You had numbness, I thought. I didn't think you had pain.
Well, not enough to be like I'm dying to you because I was used to it. I mean, it was for 2 years. But no, it was a lot of numbness and all that. But the surgical pain post-op was over pretty quick. But to say, you know, when I felt really good, looking back now, I'd probably say to give yourself, like go on 3 month increments.
Mm-hmm.
By month three, I felt fine.
Yeah.
When I got released at 10 and a half weeks to do whatever I wanted, when he said, you're starting to fuse, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you never, hopefully. I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, and your buddy, wasn't it Steve Wyatt, that had the surgery?
Yeah.
He gave me that advice before the surgery. He said, don't judge yourself every week.
Yeah.
Give yourself 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Go in 3 months. And he was absolutely right. So every 3 months, look back and see how you feel. And that's a perfect indicator because 3 months, I felt great. 6 months,
even
I pretty much
better.
Forgot I had it done.
Yeah.
9 months, I definitely.
I mean, it'll be.
I have tightness occasionally just
when you overdo
from arthritis
it.
And shit. Yeah.
Physically,
but nothing,
but
nothing that requires any attention. And it definitely doesn't hold me back from doing anything, so.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, everybody's going to be a little bit different. You woke up from surgery and didn't have numbness in your hands anymore.
No, and I ate everything in sight and had no sore throat, which was very odd.
So weird.
Most people have they can't eat anything.
He's superhuman. I should have known.
I'm Wolverine.
He is. He heals like Wolverine, just from like if he cuts himself or injures himself in some other whatever random way, like cuts for sure, he heals like Wolverine. He doesn't really bruise either, which freaks me out.
Never.
Like something could, he could get hit by a car just about on his, and like something that really should have left a bruise and that I would have broken bones from probably doesn't leave a bruise on him. And so I've always said he heals like Wolverine, and I should have known that after that surgery would have been no different. But
yeah, so I'm lucky with that.
It was a relief.
I just wish I had the antimanium that Wolverine has in his bones.
Adamantium.
Yeah, I wish I had that in my bones. But then I'd be set. But my bones
and the bone claw.
Yeah, I've got the facial hair for sure. I can do the Wolverine chops
and the muscles.
Oh yeah, I am jacked.
You are.
And ripped.
You are.
Except for being chubby.
No.
Well, that's it. That's all the questions.
Sweet.
So
appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, we really, this was fun. Thanks for giving us the questions, guys, especially being all the podcast family. You guys have been great to us.
Super, I know that fun. We're
new to the game.
Yeah, so Twitter, we are at Married as Fuck. Instagram, at Married AF Podcast. Facebook, Married AF Podcast. And we don't have an email address.
No, fucking email.
I mean, we don't have one for the podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, that's it, baby.
Yeah, well, you know, as always, go fuck yourselves.